Good evening and welcome. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Tuesday, the 30th of January, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And we have with us tonight guest Southern Jameson West, returning. Of course, you can catch the archive from 2 weeks ago, 14 days ago, for the first segment of this interview. No Such Thing as Terminal is the book. And of course, around here at RBN, we know him as James in Vancouver. And so you were about to, I mean, great showmanship, by the way, you know, right when people might think, ah, okay, I caught most of this, I don't need to hear hour two, you throw in the Nazi connections, and oh, okay, everyone has to hold on to find that out. So you wanted to go into some of this, the crystallography, von Lau, this guy named Max or Maxwell?
Von Laue.
Okay, von Laue.
Thank you. Right, so Schrodinger wrote the book, What is Life? And I'm looking it up right now. And I just want to check the date, but I'm pretty sure it's about 1944. It was lectures given in Ireland because Schrodinger was hiding from Hitler and the Nazis because Hitler told Schrodinger not to go to Stockholm and get the Nobel Prize in 1933. Okay, and Schrodinger did it anyway. So he's hiding in Ireland, and he's giving these lectures. Yes, publication date 1944. So Schrodinger is coming out in the book saying, yeah, life is based on the asymmetric crystal. Yeah, and the DNA is exactly that, a linear asymmetric crystal. How does Schrodinger know in 1944 about the asymmetric crystal? First of all, he's not a crystallographer, but his friend von Laue is, and others. Okay, there's a whole bunch of them in Munich. All right, so he knows about this. And then I said Max Delbruck, who was a physicist, he ran away with the DNA, and he went to Caltech in the United States. Okay? He ran away with everything. He took everything but the kitchen sink and ran to America because that's what defectors do, right? They say, yeah, yeah, I got a lot of goodies, right? And then like, he would be interviewed by people my buddy, what's his name, or my buddy's buddy, J. Edgar Hoover, right? Because they got to vet him, see if he's, you know, and then he'd be watched, you see? So there, everybody wants these discoveries. Because Americans had no DNA, yeah? They didn't have it. They wanted it, okay? So Schrodinger writes the book that's a teaser, 1944, okay? Well, that means that the Germans already had it, because you can't say it's an asymmetric crystal if you haven't done the crystallography to begin with, see? Right? And then you get a bunch of people, yeah, maybe... And Delbruck ran away, and this and that. And so you see, you've got a lot of, you've got a lot of wheeling and dealing going on. And the fact that Hitler didn't want Schrodinger to get his Nobel Prize, that in particular, was the deal. Look, we're all, this thing of ours, you know, we're not going to... share our goodies with the rest of the world, except if it's on our terms, right?
Well, what year would that have been? What year would that have been where he didn't want him to get the Nobel Prize and he did anyway?
1933. Hitler had just... By the way, do you know how Hitler took power? He didn't get elected. He went to Hindenburg, who was the president, I think, and he screamed in Hindenburg's face that he should be having the chancellorship. And Hindenburg was senile. And Hindenburg signed it over. And Hitler walked out with the paper, and then he took over, see? Well, he had a lot of backup, of course, too. right? You know, all of the soldiers that had fought in World War One and all the rest of that, they were the brown guys, you see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there were a lot of confrontations in the streets, like political, that turned violent.
That was in the 1920s.
Right, yeah, all the way leading up to, and that was when they were building the party, you know, I mean, gradually over time. But, I mean, there are claims that, I mean, well, there are accounts where he had, I don't know, I mean, no, he had won some popular elections, but that's not how he had come to power.
They did, but they never, I don't think, won more than 50%. If you read the book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, Shire, I think the guy who wrote the book, he delineates what they had and what they didn't have, and it comes right out of the historians that Hitler had this confrontation with Hindenburg, and then he got the chancellorship.
See? Well, I mean, 1933. I mean, that's right when the tensions were really getting going, though.
That's right.
And I mean, we had, and I'm trying to recall when the first headline was, but I mean, it was right around and thereafter where we had this declaration internationally of Jewish people, Judea, you know, declaring war on Germany, boycotting Germany because of, you know, I mean, they didn't like the way that they were recognizing and trying to root out non-Germans from their infrastructure, from their power structures. And so, I mean, well, Hitler perhaps just saw how, if the world is going to continue to be against us and others like us, based on this, you know, this global Jewish power factor, I don't want this released. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that he wanted to suppress it from the world or something like that, of course. Mm. So, I mean, you know, but you, of course, too, know that, I mean, you know, there's no 100% good or bad in everything you look into about the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler's motives and everything. I mean, it is shades of gray to a large extent. I mean, but he certainly had ambitions for what he thought was right, you know, to do good for his, you know, people for the future. I mean, people can't argue that, but but I mean, we don't want to go off on too much of a tangent. I mean, this gentleman, Max,
straight here.
Okay, I'm not sure where you wanted to emphasize with the story.
I just want to say one more thing, mm-hmm. okay? Yeah. I'll ask you a question. When did Krupp start rebuilding for World War II? I'll answer the question. In 1920, they moved their operations to Switzerland and started working on the 88 millimeter. Okay, back to you. 1920, okay, back to you.
Okay,
let's take it where you want to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, you, well, the Fountain of Youth factor, and you know, you said there had been quite a few people. It originates with German scientists, but I mean, quite a few people have been into this knowledge. I'm asking for the elite out there of wealth and power. Surely, you know, some of them have been trying to utilize this. Might be why some of these people live such long lives, you know, some of the, including some of the most repulsive. I mean, you know, they live these ridiculously long lives.
yes. Well, let me say this. I say nitro, nitro, nitro all the time. In 1920, in the first half of the 20th century, who were the geniuses of nitro chemistry? The Germans, okay? So they knew all about nitro, and they knew how to make it. Whereas the Americans were digging nitro out of the ground, the Germans were synthesizing it by the our buddy Fritz Haber, the Jew who was the director of IG Farben for a while till he got fired. You see, so they knew about nitro. They knew about the Pauli principle. They knew about quantum mechanics. They were way ahead of the Americans. Okay, it's hard to believe, but they were. And what I'm saying is that this is, guys like Rockefeller said, DNA should be mine. And Crick and Watson, Watson's from Cambridge and Crick's from Chicago, University of Chicago, which is owned by the Rockefellers. See? Surprise, surprise. Back to you.
And so my question, though, from the first hour about how, as far as life extension potential technology, I mean, it is kind of like the primary one, logically, from what you know at this point, that would have to exist out there. I mean, it's not like there are various, you know, routes completely unrelated to one another, or some unrelated to the DNA strand. It's all about this technology and these factors, you know, you would suggest that there are no other types of life extension technology, perhaps. I'd even go so far as to venture. It would be about
because,
this.
Because the DNA is set, okay? It has a set chemistry, all right? And if do you grow flowers and trees and stuff like that? Well, if you want your flowers to grow better, you go and you get out Flower Grow or whatever, some name. And what's in the Flower Grow? Ammonium nitrate. Bingo. There's nothing else but nitro, unless maybe there are aliens, some other species that has phosphorus. Phosphorus is right under nitro. So conceivably, you could make a creature with whose DNA had a phosphor in it, as and the structure would be silicon. See?
Yeah, so I've heard.
Polyprinciple. Right. So you're looking at the DNA, so the chemistry's fixed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, that's pretty much what I was starting to suspect. So, I mean, you've come across the quintessential means for life extension technology. It is all about this information, the DNA, it repairing itself and being able to accurately replicate with the RNA. But, I mean, it seems like it affects anything with any organ. I mean, you mentioned the pancreas example and this and that organ.
The heart. Same thing, just DNA, but with different messages. But same modus operandi, nitro repelling nitro. I'm simply helping Schrodinger answer the question, what is life? That's all I'm doing. And I'm putting some, you know, historical things in there, but none of which is unbelievable, because I know the Germans, like I said 2 weeks ago, they know how to cooperate in harmony, right? More than, say, what the British and the Americans can do, and maybe even the Russians, too. See? Especially.
Well, yeah, that may have been one of the things why Hitler didn't want him to go to get the Nobel Prize too much about. I mean, with the National Socialist philosophy. I mean, information technology like this, like with Hitler's extreme he was an idealist, and he wouldn't want it exploited for like only the very wealthy to have access in a capitalist sense. He would want it to be nationalized, perhaps. You know, this sort of technology, medical technology. You know, it's very possible that that was. You know, I mean, his notion that it would be exploited by, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry's corrupt, money focus.
I'll tell you who the technical guy behind Hitler was Albert Speer, okay? Speer knew everything technically. Speer was behind all of the details of the building of the Third Reich. It was Albert Speer. I won't pronounce it in German. Speer knew everything.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of places I could think to go, and maybe there's more you'd like to mention. Else. But I see we have a couple callers who are already in the queue.
Well, let's talk to. Yeah, good idea.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go there then. First, we have a couple ladies in a row for you, James.
Right.
So you're a lady killer tonight. What can we say?
Wow.
The first one is Mary in Arizona. Mary, welcome to the show. Good evening. What's on your mind for James?
Hi, gentlemen. What a great conversation. Thank you so much, Mr. James and Mr. Carey, for sharing. I have a question. How can I research? I mean, I was just looking up nitro. Can you give me a direction of where I can research the compound that you're talking about? Is there anything in PubMed or on the internet?
Well, look up ammonium nitrate.
I'm sorry, say that again. Ammonium?
Ammonium nitrate.
Okay, that's all I needed.
NH4 plus NO3 minus, okay. That's the crystal.
Plus NO3 minus. Okay, great. Well, just because I have a PhD and I also have a doctorate, so I'm somebody that has to know all the details, right?
So what did you do your PhD in?
You know what? I really don't want to say because I don't want to be identified. You know, somebody will just go and find it, and it would pop up. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be caught calling this fantastic station. So, you know, when you're in the line of work, you got to be careful. But love the conversation.
You must have signed one of those contracts then. A 50-page contract with a 100-page writer.
Well, Mary, if you have any technical questions that wouldn't occur to me, I mean, please don't rush away. Feel free to stay for a few minutes.
No, I just wanted to know. Can you repeat that one more time, Mr. James? The A, give me the letters and the number, and then what was that again?
Okay.
I'll write it down.
N for November, okay. H hotel 4 subscript plus superscript, another okay. November N. Oscar O, 3 subscript minus superscript, ammonium nitrate.
Ammonium nitrate, okay. And I'm
That's
on a cell
right.
phone, so it's a little hard to catch it. All right, thank you so much. I don't have anything to add, but I certainly will pick up your book as well. Thank you for sharing with us.
Wow. Okay, well, the book's hard to read now. Be careful.
Well, I love it even better. I just think it's so you're
you
doing
like
a great service for people.
Got smoking gun documents in there too. If you
okay,
have a PhD,
great.
You'll love that too. All right.
Exactly. Fantastic.
Thank you
both, sir. Bye bye.
Yeah. Welcome.
Yes, ma'am. And next we have Sherry in Kansas. We have some open lines if anyone else wants to get in. Sherry, welcome.
Hi, Richard. Hi, James. You know, James, what you said before Bill took Mary's call made me think that's maybe why people have had good success with urine therapy.
Yep, that's a factor because it's full of nitro.
Yeah. But there's been some
that,
pretty...
The guy that chemist, what's his name? He's down in Houston.
Dr. Group?
Group, yeah. I think his real name is Gruppe, G-R-U-P-P-E, but he just changed it to Group. His father was a famous chemist for Shell Development Corporation. I think he worked in epoxides and his father was very brilliant at synthesizing molecules. Back to you.
Well, I just love Dr. Group. I listen to
yes,
him. And-
yes.
He's a very sharp guy, and and he's really pushing this urine therapy because, you know, it's kind of like the medicine for the masses.
Well, yes, and he has reason to know that. Is what my point is that he's very good, but his father was gifted. I can't say maybe his father was better, but the family are very good in chemistry.
Well,
go ahead.
I always enjoy listening to you, James. So,
well, thank you, ma'am.
So, that's all I had to add.
I appreciate that. No, well, you call back whenever you want, and if I'm on a show, well, welcome for you to call me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got Tom Valentine Search for Health, and he was in the Navy during the Korean War. And he tells a story about one of the people on his ship was in during World War II, was holdover.
Yes.
And he was told this story. He didn't, he wasn't, you know, he was told it secondhand.
Yeah.
But he said a U-boat, a boat that got sunk, a German boat, and the captain immediately told them to start saving their urine. To drink, and they weren't rescued for 30 days, and all of them were very healthy.
Maybe I could help you out before you leave. Is that you can look up on the computer foods that are rich in nitrogen. And one of them is almonds, okay?
Okay.
And people say, well, you see, because you see, the guy who wrote World Without Cancer, he recommends almonds, I believe. Well, almonds are high in nitro, see? So you can look at all the foods, you know, and say which are high in nitrogen, and then you simply, you can do it, you know, eating the foods, you see?
Yeah.
So this is one thing I think that you could check out.
And you know that the government is trying to irradiate all the almonds, and you should, you have to really search to get almonds that aren't irradiated, is what I heard. Is there anything that you might grow in your garden that's...
Well, you know, my garden, my roses got killed by, what do you call that stuff, chemtrails a couple weeks ago. I have beautiful roses, and they all got kind of crap. I got videos of drones dropping chemtrails near where I live, and I'm looking at that today. So I heard Dane Wigington on last night with Clive Lewis, and it's really bad. So I don't know what to tell you. I think, yeah, you can grow them in a greenhouse. That would be the best, because they're dropping crap from the sky as well. So,
okay.
You know.
Well, thanks for your
information. I think the greenhouse would be the best. Yeah, greenhouse would be the best bet, you know.
Okay. Well, I guess I better get on that.
Well, it's worth a try.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, James. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Yes, thank you for the call, Sherry. And Ochi, you mentioned about it could be hard, though, to get a hold of almonds that aren't, what did she say,
irradiated?
I'm sorry?
Well, you know, because if you irradiate something, you're going to hit the DNA in it, right? And or you're going to hit the proteins, both, you see, and it's going to mess up maybe the food value. They know what they're doing. I think this is one thing I was thinking about before the show or during the show.
Like with GMO foods being less nutritious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. These guys are experts on all of these plays, like, you know, whether it's game theory that they use to do all these programs, and or it's the chemistry and physics, the science behind it. They know all of this stuff. I think I mentioned I went to school. Yeah.
I mean, I suspect, I mean, the GMO industry in general, I mean, has a priority on less nutritious food, not just stuff that grows with more productive, pest resistant, you know, high yield, like not just those factors, but intentionally, they like, you know, maybe even the most important thing is actually for it to be less nutritious for the masses.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, actually getting the true benefit. But I mean, wouldn't you still at least get the nitrogen in the almonds? I mean, it wouldn't, even if the DNA is harmed, or the protein DNA, whatever. I mean, the nitrogen on that level, it's an element, right? I mean, on the elemental level, that still would be okay, right?
Yeah.
Or no?
Well, of course. But ideally, you'd want to look, you'd want to pulverize the almond and then separate it out and then just see exactly what's in there. But not everybody's set up to do that.
Sure.
Not even me, you see.
There
might be other tests, you know, like litmus paper tests that might be available as well, where you don't need a whole lot of machinery.
But it's like something else in this injection. I mean, you were shaking when you first tried it on yourself, as if there could have been a negative, damaging reaction, a dangerous reaction.
No, I was afraid of the needle. I was afraid of doing an injection.
Okay.
I never did it before.
Okay. But
all by my little self, and I had a couple of
glasses.
Yeah, I
mean, it would be hard for me to inject something hypodermically. I'm not a fan of open veins or yeah.
It's not hypodermic. It's not hypodermic.
Okay.
It's not long. Like some mosquitoes have a longer beak than this. Well, that's an exaggeration. It's an allergy needle. 3/8 of an inch.
Okay, well, syringe. It's syringe, though. Okay, I just thought all syringes were hypodermic needles. Okay, no, hypodermic needles, a certain type.
No, hypodermic's
okay.
Going deeper, I think.
I see. Like
no,
if you're
no,
extracting
no, no,
blood
no,
or something like that.
No, not that serious. But go ahead. Back
okay.
To you.
Well, anyhow. But, you know, we do still have, we have open lines again if anyone wants to call for the second half of the show. any good questions for James, you know, we'd certainly welcome. And as far as this, a couple of minutes here before the break, what would you like to add? I mean, you know, things that maybe crossed your mind after the first show we did.
Well, I think one of the reasons why I'm talking about this on a radio station is because I took very great exception to what happened in 2020, where they locked us down, and I could see what was coming. And then they said, we got a vaccine that's going to help you out, a big deal. And I knew that vaccine was definitely not indicated. I think this is what got me going is if they're going to try and kill us with vaccines and spray us out of existence with their chemtrails and whatnot and poison our food, well, I decided I'm going to say something. This is what got me going. So If they'd have just left me alone and not locked me down and crap like that, I would probably be just... drinking Chateau Margaux in the shade by myself. You know, Chateau Margaux, one of the best Bordeaux wines in the world. So that's why I started calling RBN with my little, with my little 2 cents. See, so.
Yes.
That's, yes.
And so, I mean... But again, yeah, I can't help but stress that, I mean, we can confirm that this is the quintessential life extension technology that exists, you know, and anyone
well,
who wants to...
I can tell you, I taught my Hitler Youth buddy how to use this stuff. He has used it. And he was absolutely enthusiastic about it. And, of course, he and I have talked about it a lot. And I told him about the origins and everything, and of course he lived through that whole ordeal. And
We should talk more about all the different conditions that this could potentially treat. In the second half of this hour, I mean, in enzymes. You were talking about enzymes with the Taiwanese man. Maybe that would be a good place to start. I don't know. For the second half. Okay. Well, we should be on the break in a few moments here. Folks, please support the station. You're not going to get any information that's this unfiltered anywhere else out there. Believe me, we have looked. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis, historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with Southern Jameson West, once again, author of the book No Such Thing as Terminal. And around here, again, we know him as James in Vancouver. I wanted to touch a bit on, just a lot of the symptoms of, various conditions, and how, basically it seems like this could help with anyone, whether they know they have, people talk about diet, that eating the right foods could be the key to everything. But I don't know, this seems though like it supersedes that even more so. Perhaps a good diet could help complement this. But it seems like this is like the ultimate thing if someone was serious and had the resources to go about, as I say, like these people you always hear about with the financial and power hungry elite, life extension technologies that they must hoard to themselves. But this really is it. And enzymes, hormones, you hear about hormonal imbalances having such an effect. Hormones, enzymes, these regulate everything in the body. And I have to admit my ignorance in even differentiating between hormones and enzymes, or one is part with the other. But, on this topic, because you were mentioning enzymes with the Taiwanese patient, I don't know, is there a way you'd like to elaborate? Because it's for preventative means of all types. This could be beneficial to people, it seems, on its own. Also, the life extension potential right along with that, and then also to treat any number of conditions they know they have or perhaps don't know they have. So I don't know, before we would
move on. How would you respond to any of that, James?
Yeah, what we're doing with the gentleman in Taiwan is we're enabling his DNA to make the enzymes that his DNA couldn't make before. But you're right. The compound that I'm dealing with, the nitro compound, is basic to DNA. And if a person just goes and takes things like hormones or enzymes or whatever, the question is, yeah, they can be helpful, but then the question is what is the DNA in the body going to say about it? Because it's the DNA that controls these things, provided, of course, the DNA has the right memory, All right, so the DNA would be in, essentially just taking enzymes without, you know, knowing the details would contradict or conflict with the DNA, you see. So in this situation with the compound I'm talking about, those those enzymes, and enzymes are simply a certain kind of protein that enable reactions to happen, okay? So this is enabling the compound that I'm talking about, the nitro compound, enables the DNA to make the right enzymes and the right hormones, okay? Because it is a low molecular weight compound, and it will not conflict with the memory, with the instructions of the DNA already there. Now, as far as diseases, you can take the whole list of degenerative diseases; it'll cure them all. Arthritis, sclerosis, you name it. Those are all based on genetic problems with the DNA. Certain mutations in certain places give you these degenerative diseases. Cancer, of course, acts very quickly. It's a very fast-acting degenerative disease, but something like arthritis can be with people for years. Now, some people have taken other compounds. I believe sulfur can be beneficial, right, for certain things. So, but again, sulfur is an element. If it's pure sulfur, then it's an element. It's not a compound like you're talking about Rockefeller chemistry. When you mix a nitro with a carbon atom, then you get your pharmakia. Okay, that's the the pharmaceutical industry wants to mix carbon, which again, like I said 2 weeks ago, is a boson, with a nitro, which is a fermion. And now you've got some kind of a hybrid that, if you're not careful with it, it'll poison. Nitro, another way to talk about a nitro, it's an inorganic. A carbon atom is an organic. The chemistry of carbon is organic chemistry. So there's all these details that have to be taken into account. Back to you.
Okay. Oh, and as far as other things I've heard in the past relating to this topic of life extension technology, I mean, I've heard, I don't know if it was the cell, just cells it was describing, but at a certain point with when someone's aging, that cells no longer are able to rebuild themselves or to keep themselves, you know, youthful, intact, and I mean, there's potential to there's like a, you can like kind of switch that back, almost like an on-off switch where it can continue to rebuild as if it were youthful again. But it's something that just after a certain age, and I don't know if this is all cells in the body, all organs, or whatever, what age this would be. I mean, it seems like it was hinted more at something that happens in old age rather than just when you're reaching adulthood or anything. Yeah. But is this, I don't know, is this related and is this a real thing? Could you explain? I mean, is this what it was actually referring to, was the DNA and your process here?
Yeah. Well, there's certain theories that involve molecules. They call them telomeres.
And telomeres apparently are supposed to have some kind of function such that as the DNA ages, there's not enough room to invigorate the DNA because of these telomeres. And I'm not an expert really on that theory, but based on my own, well, you can see the pictures that I sent you. There's a guy who's 85.
Yeah, yeah.
Left for dead, okay? And I want to underscore that. Left for dead. I mean, the surgeons knew damn well not to do it. Well, now he's not left for dead. He's walking around, right? And you want to believe he's probably thinking about something. So despite his telomeric condition, we revitalized him. And now he is a going concern again. So that would shoot the telomere theory out the window. And that would support my nitro theory, which I'm saying is you just keep adding nitro to the DNA in the right way at the right time, and you can keep on going for who knows how long.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure there's
people
out there who would like to call in and said, you must have made some deal with, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, who knows? Some people, I mean, and maybe it depends how early in life you start these treatments, but certainly live well into triple digits, possibly, I mean, getting even close to doubling a human lifespan. I mean, who knows?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I believe getting to 100 is not really a big deal with the things that I know. Conceivably, it could go further, yes.
Well, we have another caller. And
good.
Hopefully some interesting questions that wouldn't have occurred to me.
Yeah. Thank God.
We have Mike in Kentucky. Hey, Mike, good to hear from you tonight, sir. Good evening. What's on your mind? Did you have some questions for James here?
Well, what I'd heard about irradiation and drinking your own urine, both, is that, you know, you got to do the urine stuff when it's super fresh because it comes out sterile unless you have some kind of a urinary tract infection, but you can't let it sit for long because it doesn't take long to spoil.
Bacteria, yes.
Yeah, and of course that's what makes it smell.
I don't advocate that. Let me just say I don't advocate it, but what I do agree on is there is nitro in the urine, okay?
So, well, it beats drinking seawater. The U-boat story is what I was referring back
right,
to. The people
course,
on the U-boat. You can't. You have to distill seawater or desalinate it somewhere because it'll kill you.
Yep,
you can't drink seawater. But
that's right.
Now, on the enzyme things, that was one of the first things I heard about when they were irradiating the food to try to kill things like supposedly E. coli or what's that stuff, salmonella and all. I think it's a ruse. I don't see how salmonella can live in peanut butter. There's just nothing for it there to eat.
Yeah.
And it's a fatty food. They claim that it can be, that can help preserve it in a dormant state, but it doesn't fit with what I was taught in biology. I mean, it almost seems like that's propaganda that peanut butter could have salmonella in it. But now the foods...
Anyhow, back to the topic. Come on, Mike. I surely had some better questioning for James on his on this mechanism, this process, this information.
Well, you guys brought up irradiation of the food, and that's the key is to get your enzymes somehow, and kiwi, and you can make your own sauerkraut, which is full of enzymes, right?
Yeah, could be.
Well, get around that irradiation, and you can still grow your own cabbage.
Yeah, well, all of that's possible, of course. And if you use the ammonium nitrate as a fertilizer, that gets into the plants. Nitrogen fixation using bacteria.
Or you put can your get pee on there.
well, thank God I have an alternative, and I've got a, yeah, that would be difficult for me, but this is how you do it. And I believe, I don't know about you, but you're down in Kentucky there, and I would imagine the old people of Kentucky that you know had all kinds of remedies. Am I right?
Yep. Yellow root for fungus. I mean, yeah. I know...
Full of nitro. Those roots are full of nitro. Go ahead.
Well, and sulfur, but they're antifungal stuff. And you, I think persimmons are very antifungal. They'll lay on the ground and don't mold.
Yes.
But pineapples is good.
Yeah, well, Mike, did you have any other questions on that I might have not have thought of on just this technology in general, how it works with the DNA or, I mean, we heard how fast recoveries can be, you know, even in like a couple months or less, a lot of progress. But I'm just wondering if you could think of some questions that it didn't occur to me.
I want to make a statement here. I've used my medicine for botulism. Okay, it'll work on botulism. I had that happen in Taiwan. Okay, I had a patient that had botulism, and I was able to expel that toxin. Back to you guys,
Mike.
Well, that comes from food, does it not?
Yep. Botulism. Yep. In this case, it was in a juice. Can left open in a refrigerator for too long, and that botulism grew in there. And the reason why I know it was botulism is because it kicked in 12 hours or more after the person ingested it, and it went right to the lungs. So it was a question of acting fast.
But what do you find normally? What do you find botulism in?
Well, anything that, like I said, that's... stored in the dark, in a fridge, that kind of thing. And the air is there, and the bacteria grows. Because microscopically, there's all kinds of things that are in the dirt and in the air that coalesce and condense on things, and that's how it works. One guy out there says, you can't get sick on something unless you eat it. Well, no, that's not quite true, right? Especially with the chemtrails. Those guys, those chemtrail guys, they obviously don't believe that because they're dropping all kinds of crap on us. And it's 10 to the minus 9. It's nano size, right? And it's killing people. So those guys who run these chemtrails and these black ops, they're pretty damn good chemists, I think.
Go ahead. Well, I think it started with using nanoparticle metals like pure aluminum and stuff as fuel catalysts back in the 70s, you know, Jimmy Carter was all about the energy thing. And you can get anybody to go along with that if they think they're getting, you know, 7% fuel economy on their fleet of airplanes. They'll put anything in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're saving 7%. But now, I thought botulism, I didn't know it would grow in something like
botulism. Juice. The reason I bring in botulism is because it's like 10 times the power of salmonella and the other ones, right? If you have a food poisoning, it kicks in at 8 hours. You'll throw up, but you can probably beat it. Botulism, you can't beat. It'll fry all of the protein in the cells in the lungs. And the person will just suffocate.
People are injecting that in their faces to smooth out wrinkles.
Well, that's another nutty issue, that's Botox. I've heard about it.
Yeah. It doesn't seem
we smart have any other
me.
Callers, Mr. Yeah. Carey?
Yes, actually we do.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Yes, we have Francis in North Carolina. Hey, welcome, Francis.
Wow. Tequila. Oops.
Hello. Hey, fellas.
Hi.
I'm finding this whole commentary quite fascinating, and the aspect of life rejuvenation and life extension and so forth. And what I am wondering about is that the inspired a thought of the fact that, what, a few decades back, they had come across the process of using stem cells for rejuvenation of the physical form or the organs or whatever have you. And I'm wondering about your perception about that. Of course, stem cells may be just simply like a precursor or a stepping stone for other extensions, for that matter. Your sentiment?
Yes, well, you see, I bypass stem cells and I bypass transplants. I can do the same thing. I can create a new liver in your body right now, okay? If you have like fourth stage cancer and you're ready to drop, at least I can push it back. And if I can get on it fast enough, I can give you a brand new liver while it's still in your body. They cut it out and throw it in the garbage. I can't give you a new liver, okay? But if it's in your body, I can still, So this is, again, one of the things I didn't mention is I can do just as good as people with stem cells, and I can do just as good, in fact, better for the transplants. Because with transplants, you get rejection, right?
Well, you can, because quite frankly, there may not be an identical or close to identical genetic parallel to the current physical body or organ for that matter, and not to mention the aspect of what type of blood is going through compared to the blood that was previously working with. So, okay, good deal.
But there's no protein in my compound, right? So you're not going to take an allergic reaction either. Just nitro, low molecular weight nitro. So you don't have to worry about that, right?
Fascinating. So, well, thanks so much for your time and your ear, and y'all have a great week.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Hey, James, before we go to the next caller, I just noticed your message now that Chris Hinckley contacted you earlier about us collaborating or you collaborating with him. That would be great.
I didn't mention it to Chris, but...
He actually messaged me right now with some questions that he just messaged me on Skype for you. Questions for James. Speaking of Max von Laue, can James comment on how Max von Laue was working on wireless communications for military applications in 1916. Max von Laue and superconductivity. Max von Laue and Einstein, if you have anything to comment on that, theory of relativity. Yeah. And then he points out, fun fact, Theosophist Helen Blavatsky actually spilled the beans about Einstein's borrowed theory of relativity in the book The Secret Doctrine, 1888. Yes. And he says, and speaking of the German-Prussian scientists, Operation Alsos. So could you comment on any of that?
Well, I think those are fantastic observations, and some of it I know, but not all of it. And I would definitely like to talk to Chris on a show and do a bit of prepping before we did a show, but that would be absolutely fantastic. So, von Laue would be working in radio, and Einstein, I believe, of course, he did have help to do his theory of relativity, not the least of which was David Hilbert. There's all kinds of places we could take this, so.
Okay,
thank you, Chris.
Yeah. I'll look forward to that as well. Thank you, Chris. Let's do that. And let's see, we have another caller here, Bob in South Carolina. Bob.
Can you hear me? Hello, can
you
hear
me? Yes, sir. Yeah. Good evening, sir. What did you want to ask James?
Jameson, I tuned in the show a little bit late, but this is such a fascinating show that I ordered your book.
Thank you.
The only question I have is this technology that you're talking about for life extension, is the formula or whatever for that in your book that somebody could do at home and make for themselves?
No, sir, it is not in, the formula is not there. I simply talk about nitro and the effects of nitro, but I don't put the formula in there, no.
Okay. Is there any way to find out how that formula is constructed? Is that something somebody could do in their at home?
Well, I wouldn't recommend that because it's kind of like liability, because The Mary, she called, and I said ammonium nitrate. But I don't want anybody thinking that they can go and take ammonium nitrate and simply use it without knowing how to use it, you see. So I want to be very clear. I don't prescribe a formula, and I don't advocate anybody trying to make this stuff, okay?
But you know how to make it for yourself, and you use it yourself.
No,
say,
sir.
Right?
Technically, I don't know how to make it for myself. I rely on other people that have been doing this for years and years and years.
Well, here, so James, can I forward you people's emails, James? Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Okay, well, here, Bob, if you go on the schedule page, you can find my email through the show description, and I'll forward your email to James, where you'd be able, maybe at least be able to find out, you know, where sources of, you know, labs which could possibly do this sort of stuff, and would be all right.
Well, that'd be great. Okay. I'll download the show so I can hear from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
All right.
Calling.
Well, thank you. Good night.
So don't try and make this stuff at home, please. Okay. Thank you.
One more caller, John.
Call.
And
all right.
John in California. John, yeah, quickly, sir. Did you have a question for James?
Yes. Hi, James. Yeah. Is there a protocol for growing teeth?
Teeth? No, I can't do that. I'd love to be able to, but I can't do that. Teeth are highly cross-linked protein, and I haven't figured out how to do that. So I can support the gums, okay? The soft tissue that the teeth are embedded in, that I can build, rebuild. It will be rebuilt, but not cross-linked. But bone, yeah, that's possible. Okay, my cousin had bone cancer. We reversed that. So, but not teeth. Sorry. Thank you. I mean, hello. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyone who wants to email James, you can email my email. And it's richardcarey@yahoo.com, but you can find it on the schedule page description. And I can forward to James. He can get back to you at email of his choice, and you can get information. And, yeah, thanks again, James. And, again, yeah, we'll do this. I'm looking forward to you and Chris Hinckley. That'll be a good show.
Well, there's more I can add, but I don't have time, so we'll have to wait for the next time.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to have you on again as well.
All right.
Well, have a
thanks,
thank
Richard.
You. Have, yes, sir. It was a pleasure.
Okay.
All right, folks.
Bye, everybody.
Please support the station, folks. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page so that we will speak again soon and transcend the construct. Regards.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.